seems today that all you see is crab takes from Matt Berry on Fantasy. Where is the good old motherfucking funny fat dude on which people lie? You lucky there's that fantasy guy who's a fan who does that bit before you so he can sit there and a drink on the ounce of wine, mother... Seems today that all you see is crabs you turn at Barry on Fantasy. But where is that good old funny fat dude on which the people rely? Hey, lucky there's a fantasy guy. You're lucky there's a fan who does the bitch before you so you can sit there mighty high. Here's our fantasy guy. Seems today that all you see is cracks from Matt Berry on Fantasy. But where is that good old funny fat dude on which the people rely? Hey, lucky there's the fantasy guy. Lucky there's a fan who does the bitch before you so you can sit there stupid high. Here's our fantasy guy. Seems today that all you see is Craptix from Matt Berry on Fantasy. But where is that good old funny fat dude on which the people rely? Lucky there's a fantasy guy. Lucky there's a fan who does the bitch before you so you can sit there mighty high. Here's our fantasy guy. Alrighty, guys, welcome to the Fantasy Guy Podcast. It is the NFL Week 1 episode. It is what I have been waiting for all season long, so I'm glad that you guys are here to join me. There's so much on the slate for the NFL. I mean, if you're talking about tonight, we got the Tampa Bay Bucks versus the Dallas Cowboys. That's going to be an interesting ball game. I go ahead and I see the Tampa Bay Bucks covering the spread in that one. But the Cowboys providing, you know, some fight late in that game. But Bucks will ultimately come away with the spread. We got Jaguars versus Texans this week. That's a shitter. we got the Chargers versus the football team. Seahawks, Colts, Jets, Panthers, Vikings versus Bengals, Cardinals versus Titans, Niners versus Lions. I could go on for days, but people, the main message I'm trying to bring to you is that football is finally here, and it is time to go. Now, for the weekly shows, I thought for this week, I wasn't going to do stuff with, like, you know, free agency pickups. I wasn't going to do a Tuesday show. It didn't feel right to me. I wanted to save all my energy. I wanted to save all my takes. I wanted to save everything for this Friday episode today for week one. Now, what we're going to cover today in today's episode is we're going to go through the stardoms and the sit-ems. Who do I think is worth that spot on your starting roster this week, and who do I think should hit the bench? There's going to be some surprises in there. And then we also cover some injury updates. We have a breaking news that we're going to cover in a bit, which is wild, absolutely wild stuff. And then to close it out, I'm going to give you guys a daily fantasy lineup. I just put this one in. I'm doing it for the 1 to 4 o'clock games. I'm not usually a daily fantasy guy, but as the overall fantasy guy, it doesn't make much sense for me not to be too involved in the daily scene. So I'm going ahead. I'm getting myself a little involved in daily fantasy. So we're going to go over that lineup at the end, and I'm going to explain my logic and all that good stuff. Let's go ahead and let's break down some stardom sit-ems. This is what we're here for, guys. This is it. Now, I could start with the stardoms, but I don't know. I'll save the more exciting part for a little bit later. Let's go into the sit-ems this week. Guys that I just think are going to have a dog crap week for your team. And that one guy who's going to be a huge apple pie shitter this coming Monday night is Josh Jacobs. He will be playing for the Raiders against the Ravens. That's going to be going on Monday night at 8:30. Could be even the 7 slot. I'm not really sure. No. Do they do 2 Sunday night games or 2 Monday night games? I don't know. I don't care. But what I do know is that the Josh Jacobs train is going to come to a full halt in this game because that Ravens defense is so tough. Taking on that defense in itself, I mean, that's a tough task. They got some beasts on the front line there. They got Calais Campbell and even more very big threats. But when you take into consideration Kenyon Drake in that backfield, he's going to be a guy that gets work on third down. When you take into account how horrible the defense that Oakland has, then a pretty ugly picture is coming up, and it's a picture where the Ravens absolutely shit pump the Las Vegas Raiders at their home stadium. It's going to be messy for Josh Jacobs fantasy owners, and I would only start Josh Jacobs if I was truly desperate and had no other starting running backs. Josh Jacobs is a guy with a lot of potential, a lot of great potential, and a lot of people are saying that the Raiders offense is just going to go through the running game this year. But in week one, in this matchup against a front seven like Baltimore's, I'm not riding with Josh Jacobs in that one. I'll let him sit, let him see if he could prove it the next week. So Josh Jacobs is a guy that will be on my bench this upcoming week. Another guy that should definitely be on your guys' benches, but has gained a lot of hype for some weird reason, is this Daryl Henderson Jr. character. He's being ranked as the RB24 for this week. I just don't see it. Sony Michel, I think, is going to get the end zone carries in that offense. And because of that, I think Daryl Henderson's fantasy value is very capped. He's going to be getting some yards. He's going to be getting reception totals, you know, points for that. But in terms of, you know, fantasy football touchdowns, where the game is made, I just don't know if Daryl Henderson is going to have a good amount of touchdowns. And I don't think that during this Bears game, he's going to be able to get a touchdown. The Bears have a great front seven led by the man, the myth, the legend, Khalil Mack. And the Rams have an older offensive line. So those Bears, they have a little bit of an athletic advantage. The Rams may need time to get their footing with a new team. And as a result, the run game could be sluggish. Very, very sluggish to start. I see Sony Michel more as the threat in this game at the goal line, while Henderson is the PPR guy. And the thing is, I don't really see this game as a high-scoring affair. I actually see it going well under the total that Vegas has set. So in this game, I'm looking for more of something that's slow-paced. They're going to try and control the possession here. Don't think that really bodes well for Daryl Henderson Jr. They're going to try and run the ball, but I just don't know if it's going to work to the success that they would like to see. Is he going to get a 10-yard run? Yeah, maybe once, maybe twice. But I don't know if he's ultimately going to be able to do it for you and your fantasy lineup, so I would go ahead and sit him. And the breaking news I have is that DeAndre Swift apparently murdered a dude. Yes, apparently, according to Reddit and according to some of the followers of Incarcerated Bob, he murdered a dude in Philly out of self-defense over the weekend, and I have no clue what the actual facts of the statement is. I don't know what the grounds of it are. I don't know if he even was in Philadelphia over the weekend. But 49ers are going to shit pump the Lions and control the possession the entire game anyways, and I don't want anything to do with DeAndre Swift. I don't want anything to do with his murdering OJ Simpson Walmart ass. I don't want anything to do with his injury prone ass. And I don't want anything to do with his horrible team, horrible O-line, horrible defense having ass. Okay? I have no ifs, ands, or buts about why DeAndre Swift be good this year. I think he's going to be horrible. And for all the people who are now thinking in their heads, oh wait, well, Jamal Williams is going to be starting running back. DeAndre Swift is more talented. There will actually be a drop in points from DeAndre Swift to Jamal Williams, which shouldn't surprise anybody. So I don't understand how hype is now building around Jamal Williams as the second best asset by far in a terrible Detroit Lions offense. They're going to be stacking the box every play. It's going to be a misery. DeAndre Swift, you're not starting for me this week. I don't know what's going on with you, dude, and I don't trust you. I don't like you. That's all I can really say about Mr. DeAndre Swift there. Let's go ahead and head over to the wide receiver sit-ems this week. I got my boy Jerry Jeudy. If you know me, I love Jerry Jeudy. He's the wide receiver 29 going into this week. But I don't know. The season-long value's there, but this game, going against a guy like James Bradbury across from him on Sunday, that's going to be an ugly matchup. The under looks like it's going to smash back, bruh, in this game as both teams' defenses are much stronger than their offensive units. I don't trust in a Danny Dimes. I don't trust in a Teddy Bridgewater. I don't trust in a Drew Locke. I mean, there's not much trust with these offenses here. And because of that, I think that Jerry Jeudy's going to struggle a bit in this one as the clear number one because Bradbury's going to be on him. The defense is going to be on their toes to make sure to prevent a guy like Jeudy really making a difference in this game. And I believe that Joe Judge would rather get more yards in the rushing game than in the receiving game. They're going to want to shut that down. The Giants defense is a lot better than people give them credit for. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to fade Jeudy this week, right? But we're riding him out the rest of the way. He is going to be a monster this season. So don't be a flake. Don't be a flake. All because Jerry Jeudy has one bad week. Like, oh, I don't want him. Let's trade him. Don't trade Jerry Jeudy. He's going to be a beast this year. A guy who I think also could be pretty good this year, but I think he's going to have a really rough week one. And that's going to be Chase Claypool. He's coming in at wide receiver 31 for this week. And that's because Claypool, he's a special talent whose vertical and red zone threat is very rare in the NFL. But, yeah, so were Tre'Davious White's coverage skills, bro. Tre'Davious White is that dude. He is a master when it comes to locking down some of the top receivers in the game. And with Claypool really only having a year under his belt, I'm a little worried about that matchup. Deontay set to be the main receiver on the outside with Juju lining up in the slot. And then Claypool, he's going to be all alone on the other side, getting the best defender on most plays. And that's not a situation I like. I think Big Ben's going to look a lot more towards that right side of the field, look towards a guy like Deontay Johnson, look towards a guy like a Juju Smith. And with Claypool having Tre'Davious White covering a man-on-man and Micah Hyde most likely over the top on his side of the field, that's straight up not going to be a good time, bruv. I would much rather ride with Deontay Johnson and, dare I say, even Juju Smith-Schuster in this game over Claypool. And you know me, if I say that I would rather start Juju over Claypool, you know there's an issue with Claypool. I'm not starting Claypool this week. He is in the sit-em spot. Mike Gesicki, Mr. Tight End 13. He's a Manalapan guy. He's a Penn State guy. We are. But while I'm a Mike Gesicki guy, I'm not a guy of starting a tight end that's going against a New England defense. They got a tough task to take on, and my boy Dont'a Hightower, he's a beast over the middle of the field. Gesicki's a guy who is a little frail, so I'm a little worried about him going over the middle of the field and Dont'a Hightower just rocking his clock. This is going to be a rough game, in my opinion, for Tua and the Dolphins, assuming that the Patriots defense plays up to their capabilities, which, as we've seen in the past, they're gonna. This team is special, and Bill Belichick knows how to coach his defensive units. Also believe that the Patriots offense will have growing pains in this game. So this game is going to be closer than expected, and with the game script not really leaning like it would in a blowout where the Dolphins are coming from behind and they have to keep passing the ball, this is going to be a game they're in the entire time, but I don't necessarily know if they're going to force passing the ball. So because of that, I think that Mike Gesicki is a guy that I would rather wait on and sit this week. Let's go ahead and let's head to the statums, huh? Who are the guys that I want to stat this week? People that I'm seeing, basically, I'm not trying to go with like the top 12 guys, obviously, because you want to start those people. So I'm trying to go low, trying to go near RB18 and on. So speaking of that number, RB19, Mr. Raheem Mostert. I am starting Raheem Mostert if I have him in any league. He's going against the Lions, and this is a cakewalk of a matchup, people. The defensive line is horrible. The secondary is horrible. The middle linebackers, can you guess what I'm going to call him? They're horrible. He's going to feast upon this team. He is going to have a game where he definitely gets one of those signature 80-yard rushing touchdowns, and with the Lions team so defensively challenged, to say that very nicely, the Niners should be able to get a lead early and keep it. Therefore, it's going to be ground and pound until the chicken comes out. I don't know what that saying means, but the chicken is Trey Sermon. So when Trey Sermon enters the game, that's obviously when Raheem Mostert's going to lose a little bit of value. But until that point, he could easily have 140-plus yards and two TDs in my mind. He is a guy that I would absolutely start this week. We know that Raheem Mostert likes to start off the year with a bang. Let's start our year off with a bang, starting Raheem Mostert in our lineups. Gus Edwards, the Gus Bus. Now, he's not a train, he's a bus, but he's dual functional. He is getting ready for takeoff, and there are no fucking stops on this route. All right, people. Obviously, you see that I cut in to my own Gus Edwards segment. That is because Gus Edwards is out for the season. This is a hard one. As I've told you guys many times before in the previous episodes, Gus Edwards is a man who is great at running that rock. He was averaging 5 yards per carry last season, averaged even more the season before. It's tough to see a guy like Gus go down. Tyson Williams is obviously the best guy to pick up in the scenario. He is a guy that I would start against the Raiders this week. But, I mean, Gus Bus was going to be the start of the week. So, tough blow there. Let's continue on with the episode. Damian Harris, RB27. Now, why I like Damian Harris this week, despite going against a pretty decently tough Dolphins front seven, is that the Dolphins secondary is, simply put, gross. They are really, really good. And for a rookie quarterback, that isn't the most welcome group to face when you're entering the NFL. I don't anticipate that Mac Jones is going to want to throw towards Xavier Howard. I don't anticipate he's going to want to throw towards a guy like Byron Jones. So, almost had a baby there. As a result, they're going to run the ball a ton, and that means a lot of carries for the Mr. Damian Harris. If they get near the end zone, he is their best chance to score, and I think they're going to do so in this game. While I said earlier that it is going to be close, it is going to be tight, and I think it is going to be a little low scoring. I think that Damian Harris is going to get the volume, and he's going to get that tubby. So Damian Harris at RB27 is a guy that I plan on starting in every single league this week. Let's move on to the wide receivers that we're starting. Only got two on this one, too. The wide receivers, it's not looking like there's anything crazy in terms of, like, bust potential or breakout potential. So I just got two guys who I think are probably going to have a really good week for you if you start them. They're kind of fringe guys. So, like, a Tyler Boyd, right? If you draft a receiver heavy, Tyler Boyd might be your wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. I don't know. There are people that are not. So Tyler Boyd is a guy that I have in most leagues as my wide receiver 2. I'm very excited to start him this week. The Vikings defense is not very scary in my eyes to begin with. But then when you realize that their slot corner is Mackenzie Alexander, that's when you know my boy T. Boyd finna feast. Mackenzie Alexander, not an awful slot cornerback, but he's just average, if that. T. Boyd's one of the best slot receivers in the league. He does not get nearly enough respect. And if you looked at stats from last year, when Burrow and Boyd were on the field, the duo led the league in slot targets. That should only continue to develop with more of a desire to get the ball out before pressure comes. Burrow's going to be a little antsy, you know? Danielle Hunter coming around the outside. He's going to need to get rid of it. Who's the guy closest to him? It's Tyler Boyd. I smell this as a high-scoring affair. Why not Boyd? Now, why not Boyd? Now, I think T. Higgins is going to feast anyways because he's going against Rashard Breeland, who I think is a joke of a corner. But Tyler Boyd is a guy who I'm especially looking at for this week, and I'm going to talk about him later when it comes to my daily fantasy lineup. Michael Pittman Jr., he's a wide receiver 45. He's a guy that I would definitely want to start this week. While that Colts offense scares me, like, I don't know how they're coming out. They could be very, very flat when it comes to week one. I don't care. I think this kid is special, and that Seattle secondary, it's absolutely putrid. If you look at the guys on their depth chart right now, it is a joke, and there is no reason why Wentz and Pittman can't at least get 6 receptions going and 70 yards. That's 13 points in a PPR format. It's not anything special, but that's not bad. I think that is slightly above their floor. Now, their ceiling, I think they more so could reach that in this game. I'm thinking that he goes with 80 yards, about 7 receptions, and a touchdown in this one. He's a must-start in fantasy this year. He's a guy that is going to be pivotal for this Colts offense, and I think the Colts defense is going to take a few steps back this year. So, Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy I'm looking at to start this week. Let's go ahead and head to Dallas Goedert. He's the tight end 9, but for some reason, I'm seeing a lot of people with a guy like Dallas Goedert on their bench. What are you guys doing? I preach. Dallas Goedert's role with Hurts at the QB before, and him being ranked 9th for this week, that's criminal, dog. That's clown shit, bro. He's Philly's most proven target through the air and a mismatch for whatever garbage-ass middle linebacker the Falcons throw at him. Goddard's going to be top 3 this week. Jalen Hurts is going to be top 3 this week. I'm expecting big things from this Philly offense. Jalen Reagor is another guy that I can mention as a stardom, but I quite frankly don't think any of you would start him. So unless you're desperate at receiver like I am in some leagues where I stacked up on running backs early in the draft, I wouldn't start a guy like Reagor, but Dallas Goedert is a much, much better option. Let's go ahead and look at Jonnu Smith. He is being ranked as the tight end 10 this week, and I think that he's going to do numbers. Another guy I'm seeing on tons of benches. Mac Jones is going to have a tough time throwing it to the receivers. So where is his bread and butter going to be? It's going to be to Jonnu Smith. He's not going to be throwing it, like I said. He's not going to be throwing it to a Byron Jones, to a Xavier Howard. He's going to be throwing it across the middle. The Dolphins linebackers aren't really anything too special, and they don't really do well in terms of tight end coverage. Like most rookies, I anticipate Mac Jones feeding the tight end, and I really think that Jonnu came on in Tennessee over the past 2 years, and he's listed above Henry on the depth chart for a reason. He's that dude. He's the weapon they want to move their offense with, and honestly, we may see Jonnu Smith have a breakout season even with Hunter Henry on the roster. It's going to be interesting to look at that one. And a guy that I know is not being started in any leagues, but definitely should get that starting nod, is Anthony Firkser. He's being ranked as the tight end 17 going into this week. Now, this is not necessarily more of a leap of faith with Anthony Firkser, but more so a confirmation of the knowledge that I've learned fading the Cardinals defense the past 2 years. So the Cardinals defense has been dreadful against tight ends the past 2 years. One of the worst in the NFL at guarding the position. And this has resulted in some pretty large fantasy games for opposing tight ends. Now you bring in Anthony Firkser, and with two bad defenses set to take the field, Tannehill should look to throw the ball a lot. And because of that, I think Firkser is going to get his burn. The Cardinals know what they have to do. They have to guard the Julio Jones. They have to guard Antonio Brown. And they know that they got Derrick Henry up the middle. But who's the guy that nobody's looking at? Anthony Firkser. He's going to be on the field most plays. I like Anthony Firkser as a guy who could pay off for some sneaky, sneaky week one value. And after he does, I think he'll get picked up in most leagues. So if I'm you right now, I'm going ahead, I'm picking up Anthony Firkser. Even if you have a much better tight end for this week, he's a guy that could carry value just being on your roster. All right, we're going to bring it to break, and then when we get back, we're going to dive into the injury update as well as my daily fantasy lineup for the 1 through 4 o'clock games.
There is nothing on my person that I care more about than my hair and beard. It's the moneymaker. I need it mint. The only person I trust right now is John over at Main Street Barbershop in Metuchen. John has been at this game for 7 years and offers premier haircuts, complete bald head shaves, shape-ups, beard trims, the works. You can follow Main Street Barbershop on Instagram at MainStreetBarber_Metuchen, and you can book an appointment by downloading the Booksy app or call John directly at 732-569-2592. Tell him Chop Sports sent you.
All right, and now for the injury update, let's dive in around the league and let's go ahead and look at some of the guys who are dealing with injuries right now and how they're coming along with them. A guy that surprised me yesterday and most fantasy owners was Austin Eckler having a hamstring issue. Imagine you wait all year, right? You're like, yeah, no. I am not drafting until the day before the season starts. I do not want anything bad to happen. A guy could tear his ACL, slipping in his bathroom, freaking on the way to the facility. You have no clue what could happen. I'm not doing it. I'm drafting last day. I'm drafting Wednesday. I don't care. That guy goes ahead and takes Austin Eckler. Now, you go ahead, you have your draft, and just hours later, you go ahead and you see that your first-round player has a hamstring issue. That's got to be annoying. He's a guy who is hungry. He wants to be out there. He respects the fantasy game. I know that he's in a few leagues. There's an account that I mutually follow. It's called Fantasy Football Shop, and Austin Eckler is actually in their league. So that's pretty interesting. I think he's a guy that is going to tough through it, not only for fantasy, obviously, but, you know, for himself, for the team. They need him out there. It's going to be a tough game against a tough defense with the Washington Football Team. And this is annoying. This is definitely concerning, guys. I don't like to be the guy that, you know, raises flags with injuries for players I like, especially. But Eckler, this hamstring thing is already a little bothersome. The fact that he came off so many different injuries last year and now is already tweaking something, that's a little bit annoying. Let's dive into Brandon Ayuk, whose hip is no longer bothering him. He is good to go. That's great hearing that for Sunday in a matchup where he should absolutely feast. There is a lot of potential Brandon Ayuk this year, in my mind, especially if Trey Lance gets in that offense. So Brandon Ayuk, good to hear that there's no longer any bother in the hippy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's practicing fully. That's very exciting for owners, especially for your boy, because I own him about a billion years. about a billion years. In about a billion leagues. One thing I want to go ahead and say with this, right, is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I could see him missing a game or two this season. He is a little frail. So if you want the handcuff, I would go ahead and say actually take Jerick McKinnon over Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams is more of a run straight kind of guy. He could get a few touchdowns and all that. But McKinnon definitely fits the Chiefs' offense a lot more. And if you saw a few of McKinnon's games last year with the 49ers, he didn't necessarily look bad. He could catch the ball, and I think that's what the Chiefs want out of the backfield. So I think that McKinnon's definitely the guy to own if you're trying to handcuff a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Next on the injury report, we have DeAndre Swift's victim. All right, I'm sorry. What the hell is that? I hope that person is okay. I mean, if they're dead, I guess they're not okay. This is so fucked up. What is that? What is this, DeAndre Swift? I mean, come on. God damn it. A lot of questionable tags are moving to healthy. Speaking of if that guy's okay. And this is a great sign for a nice week one. I'm very excited for week one, as you guys have already probably heard 50 times now. But there's not that many injuries. All the injury swoon has gone. The preseason has gone. There's no worry. Now it's just games. If they get hurt in the games, that's fine. All fair is love is war, you know? That's horrible. You hate seeing it. You want them to be out there, not only for you, but for them and for their team as well. But things do happen throughout a season. So it's nice to see these guys looking good and looking great. Let's head to the daily fantasy lineup for the 1 through 4 o'clock games. Now, I'm whipping out my phone here so we could go through some of the values. I like Jalen Hurts at $6,400. Jalen Hurts is about the same price range of a guy like Justin Herbert, who's going against a very tough defense in Washington, a Ryan Tannehill, who's also another great value for FanDuel and for DraftKings this weekend, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence. Those guys are all going to have pretty decent games, but Jalen Hurts has potential to absolutely rake the Atlanta Falcons. He is a special, special talent. And with the run, with the rushing that he's going to provide, I mean, he's going to be putting up points. He can get more than 100 rushing yards in this game. There's no doubt about that one. Then we have the boy, the kid, the legend, Raheem Mostert at 5,800. He's a beast. And going against the 31st best defense in the league, there's some great value there. Now, I could have gone ahead and I could have gotten guys like a McKissick, a Damian Harris, a Kareem Hunt, but Raheem Mostert is clearly the best back for the value at 5,800. So I'm going to keep Raheem Mostert there at the second RB spot. I have James Robinson, 6,400. James Robinson's going against the Texans this week. He should do some brutal, brutal damage to that very garbage Houston Texans line. And he's going to continue to show why he is the beast that he was last year. In terms of guys that I would have taken over Robinson, there's really not much when it comes to him. Like, there's a Najee Harris, but against a tough Buffalo defense, what are you going to do? There's a Joe Mixon, but I don't trust that guy as far as I could throw him. There's a Miles Gaskin, but he's going against the Patriots defense, so going with James Robinson there at 6,400. Tyler Boyd is a guy I have at receiver. He's for 5,200. I had talked about him earlier. This is a spot where Tyler Boyd should be exceptional. There's no reason why he doesn't pay the price for 5,200. He should be quite solid in that spot. Corey Davis is another guy that I have at wide receiver against a very weak Carolina Panthers secondary with not a lot of experience there. Corey Davis should be able to continue his preseason production with Zach Wilson, and I think for 4,900, I mean, he provides some immense value. He's going to finish as a wide receiver one or two this week. Calvin Ridley at 7,900. He's the most expensive guy I have, but I think that it's well worth the price. Darius Slay is a guy that I saw get carved up last year. I mean, if we're talking about some bad coverage, Darius Slay was getting bullied. He didn't look like he knew where he was out there. It was hard to watch being a Darius Slay guy, but Calvin Ridley is going to run routes around this dude. I mean, I know that's his job, but he's going to run circles. He's going to run squares. He's going to run triangles. This isn't even going to be fair for a guy like Darius Slay to guard Calvin Ridley. Christian McCaffrey is really the only other big expensive guy that I'm looking at this week, but I'm looking at the matchups and I'm looking at the values, and I'd honestly rather have better value for my other guys than take a Christian McCaffrey and then have a piece of crap elsewhere on the roster. So I'm going for the balance. I'm taking a guy like Calvin Ridley, 7,900. Jonnu Smith at 4,100. He seems like he offers great value there, because if you go ahead and you look at some of the tight ends that are available at 1,400, Tanyan's at 4,200 against a pretty tough Saints defense. DeMario Davis is going to be guarding him, so that's a no-go. Evan Ingram, who's a literal walking garbage can with arms and legs, at 4,100. Austin Hooper, who hasn't proved any form of consistency whatsoever at 4,000, it is very clear that a guy like Jonnu Smith offers superb value amongst this position, especially at the price. Hunter Henry is more expensive than Jonnu Smith. What a joke. What an actual joke. So take Jonnu Smith on some of those DraftKings lineups. Flex, Antonio Gibson. I am in absolute... I'm in shock that I could get a guy like Antonio Gibson for the price I can right now. He's going for $5,900 in FanDuel and DraftKings leagues. $5,900. That is less than Chris Carson, Miles Gaskin, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, Miles Sanders. Stop the phone. Get the hell out of here that Miles Sanders is more expensive to have than Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson is the free RB1 that you can have for your, DraftKings, your FanDuels. Make sure you have Antonio Gibson in that lineup. I'm putting him at the flex, and I'm rounding it off with the Denver Broncos as my defense, 3,300. They're going against the Giants this week. I think that Danny Jones is going to struggle mightily. The Broncos have the best secondary in all of football. If you want to check me on that, how about you go ahead and look at that depth chart? They got Bryce Callahan. They got Sertan. They've got a bunch of weapons that could destroy opposing offenses, ruin their confidence. So Broncos at 3,300 is a great value to me, and I have $100 left over. That is my daily fantasy lineup. Jalen Hurts, Raheem Mostert, James Robinson, Tyler Boyd, Corey Davis, Calvin Ridley, Jonnu Smith, Brandon Ayuk, and the Denver Broncos. Now, as I always do during the fantasy season, I'm still going to post my rankings for the week. My QB rankings, my RB rankings, my wide receiver rankings, tight end rankings. I'm going to have all that for the week, maybe even a defense ranking, you know, maybe just some guys to pick up. Basically, the basic gist of it. But on top of that, I'm going to be always putting in my story a little question box, and it's going to say, what are your last-minute lineup questions? If you have any questions when it comes to your lineups and you don't have my number, you're too afraid to Instagram DM me, I don't know why anybody would be afraid to do that, but if you don't want to Instagram DM me, go ahead, put in the box your question, and I'll go ahead and I'll answer it on the story. Even if you don't want to post a question, looking at the stories, it's pretty informative. I learned a lot last year from being able to take people's different roster questions and kind of get a feel for what their team's like, how people draft, different things like that. So make sure to go ahead, be active on Sundays. The Fantasy Guy page, the Instagram page, is going to be at its best on Sundays. So make sure to follow _FantasyGuy_. That is all for today's show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be bringing more of that NFL action the rest of the season. So for all of your fantasy needs, make sure to listen to Fantasy Guy.